Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our rebroadcast, our Wednesday night rewind for Believer City Church. We're broadcasting on street level radio right now and streaming online at believercitychurch.com. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and we're going to go through the story of Gideon tonight from Judges chapter 6. We'll just do a brief recap of what we talked about on Sunday. And then we'll split off into our community Bible discussions that are in the community surrounding Menominee. So there's a couple in Menominee and some surrounding towns like Colfax and Glenwood City and Bloomer and all the rest. And so if you have interest in joining one of those discussion groups, you can go to our website, believercitychurch.com. You can find out about our locations from there. You can also contact us if you'd like to be assigned to a group near you and know a little bit more about it. So you can contact us. Just go to our website. You can get our contact info there. Well, tonight we're going to jump into the story of Gideon. He's one of the more famous people from the book of Judges. And this book of the Old Testament, it kind of has some ups and downs. Certainly there's a lot of tragedy that happens in it, a lot of horrific, difficult things that happen, but there's also some reality to it that is, I think, helpful. And certainly with the story of Gideon, we see a guy who was fearful and hesitant, and yet he still gave up himself to serve the Lord. He moved through his fears, his doubts, and his hesitations, and he moved to serve and obey God in the way that God asked him to. And so I think we can learn a lot from there. Now, we'll play back some clips from the Sunday service here in a minute, but I just want to set the stage before we jump into that. Just remember that the people of Israel were called by God to obey him. They were given the Old Testament law. God was very specific in how they were to follow him, and how they were to worship him, that they were to worship only him, and all the rest. And what happens in the book of Judges is the people fall away from that. They turn away from God. They stop following him, and they start following their own desired path. That could be just their own livelihood, their own well-being, things like jobs and careers and families and recreation and all that. Or it could be other gods, false gods from the region. And that's certainly what happens here in Gideon's story tonight. The people start to worship a different god altogether. So the people reject God over and over again in the book of Judges. And God sends a deliverer, a rescuer. He sends a leader into their midst to bring them back to him. And so Gideon's the fifth such judge in the book. He's an unlikely choice in that he's not the bold, brave warrior. God's going to make him that, but he's a little bit more of a timid fella. Now, before God sends Gideon, he also sends a prophet to give the people a message to help them understand why things have gone bad for them. And the clips from Sunday will get into all these things here. But as we go into that, I just hope you guys have a good and blessed discussion. Pray that you could be honest and open about what's really going on in life, what really God is really speaking to you about in life, and pray that you can help each other kind of work through some of these details. There's questions. There's some commentary to talk through together over the next hour. But I hope you guys have a good evening out there, and God bless.
Let's take a look at this backstory. Why are the people in trouble? Why is God calling Gideon to rescue them out of this trouble? Take a look at Judges chapter 6. Let's read back starting at verse 1. It says, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would camp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. so that they laid waste the land that they as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. The people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. Okay, so here's what's happening. This is the familiar cycle. The people disobey God. They stop following after him. And God allows them to experience some pain. God takes his hands off of them. He lets them become basically afflicted by an enemy country. These are the people that they're supposed to be displacing from the land and taking over. And God allows these people to kick back, to even rule over them. Now, the Midianites actually are not ruling over them. They actually are just bullying them. It's not like they're enslaving the Israelites for their purpose. These are nomadic people from the north. They're just swooping in on their camels when it's convenient to get some free lunch, to take some livestock. Basically, they're bullying the Israelites. So the Israelites don't know when this is going to happen, how often, or what's going to happen. But these are just raiders from the north coming in, and the Israelites are afraid. Okay, and so why was Gideon in the wine press? He didn't want his wheat to be stolen. Okay, the land is ravaged. The people are starving. Okay, they're living in this sense of uncertainty and fear. And so it says they made some homes in caves. How do you like that? Actually, sounds kind of fun. But when you have to do it out of necessity, I bet you it's not as fun. They moved into the mountains. They built dens in the ground. They built caves. And when things got bad enough for them, that's when they cried out to God. And that's key here. It wasn't until things were bad enough, then they started to cry out to God. Okay, so I'll ask you this morning, when do you cry out to God? Are you waiting for things to get bad? Is that why you're in church this morning? Things aren't going well, so I better go see what God has to say. When do you cry out to God for help? Okay, most people wait till there's pain. Most people wait until things are bad enough. It's beyond what I think I can handle. You know, I'm up to here, and then it passes the line. Secondarily, where do you look to build safety in your life? Which caves are you hiding in? But where do you look to hide from the things that you're fearful of? Or where do you look to be protected from the things that you're fearful of? Okay, the people, they're defending themselves, kind of. They're not facing their attackers, but they're trying to survive. They're just going along with life. It's okay. It's good enough for them. It's not great. Not exactly thriving here. Okay, I wish I could see a little more daylight, but my cave's not so bad. Where do you look to for safety? Okay, now in verse 7, it continues on. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Okay, the people cry out for help. And the other parts of the book of Judges so far, what we've covered so far, they cry out for help and they get this hero sent to them to lead them back into safety and freedom. It's not what happens here. God responds, but he doesn't immediately rescue them. This time he sends them a prophet, not a leader, a messenger, a prophet, to come speak to them. He's going to explain to them what's happening and why it's happening. Okay, listen to this. It says, "We expect God to raise up a deliverer, a judge. But instead, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sends them a prophet. God's first response to the people's cry is not to send a savior or salvation, but to give them a sermon. Before they can appreciate the rescue that will come, the people need to understand why they need rescuing. The prophet comes and helps them to understand why they are in the trouble they are in. He wants them to understand where their idolatry, their sin, has led them." Okay, so it goes something like this. The people cry out, "Help us, save us. The Midianites are stealing from us. God sends a prophet to them and says, the Midianites are not the problem. You're the problem. This is happening because of the decisions that you've been making. Hey, God's response is not to take the pain away from them, to rescue from the situation immediately. It's to explain to them how they got themselves into the situation. Okay, and I wonder how you would have responded to this. How do you respond when you ask for help and somebody gives you a lecture? Feels great, huh? Okay, but let's make this the spiritual endeavor that it is. How do you respond when you're looking for some help and guidance in life, and instead of getting an exact solution or help from your friends, you get a message from God through a sermon? You go to church, you hear the preaching, you hear the Bible being taught, you hear God's message. Do you listen to it? Do you take in what God's saying to you on a regular basis? Or do you just kind of push that off to the side and hold on to your real problems over here? These are the things that I need dealing with, not what God seems to be saying over here. How do you respond to this sort of thing? I thought of three responses. These are broad, but number one would be you just don't listen. Okay. Number two is you listen, but you don't do anything about it. Third would be you listen and you do something about it. I guess there's a fourth one. You don't listen, but you do something else about it. It's really rare that people are going to take what God says to them, fix the spiritual situation in their life, and start walking forward patiently, faithfully, consistently, walking forward in that, trusting that he'll take care of the other things over here. Most of the time, we just focus on the things that are bad, things that are wrong. We look for the ways in which we can resolve those. Then we can get back to walking with God. Maybe that's not the problem. Maybe the problem is what God keeps addressing. Hey, maybe if you fix that, maybe if you listen to that, maybe if you obey that, then God might start to work differently in your life.
He knows
it's the Lord. Now that he's sees that it's God asking him to do this, now some things are going to start to happen. This is where some change starts to come into play. Okay, this is where it gets good. Verse 25, that night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. We're going to take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him. Because he was afraid of his family, because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And after they had searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of the Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend for himself because he broke down his altar. First thing God tells Gideon to do is go to your dad's church, start tearing up the carpet, take away the pulpit, take down the statues, take down everything, and build a fresh sanctuary to the Lord. First thing he does. Okay, if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess, we got to start by worshiping the right God. Okay, and that's where Gideon is going to ignite things. He says he's too afraid to do this during the day because he's afraid of his family and the people in the town, and for good, right? Because they wanted to kill him when he did it. So he does it by night. He's too afraid during the day, so he goes by night to do this. And this brings up a tension that a lot of us are going to feel on a regular basis, and that's fearing people. The Bible calls that the fear of man. and the desire to obey the Lord and what he's asking you to do. Okay, Gideon stuck between these two things. He has a clear idea of what God wants him to do. He has a clear fear of the people who are going to be impacted by this, what they might do to him, the repercussions for him. And so he has a decision to make. Well, do I obey the Lord and make everybody mad at me? Or do I not obey the Lord and make him mad at me? He's kind of stuck making a decision here. Fear of man versus obedience to God. Okay, and being afraid of people, that'll alter our course in a lot of things. We'll either not do things that we should do, or we'll do things differently than we would have had we not had the fear of the people involved. You all know what I'm talking about. You'll go out of your way to do things differently than you would have done because you know there's some people that are going to see what you're going to do. Everybody faces this. And everybody has a decision to make in these moments. Do I do what God said and trust him? Or do I do it, my version of it, or not do it because of how people are going to receive this thing? There's tons of ways this plays out. Okay, the people we work with, our families, our friends, the people sitting next to you in the pew right now. There's too much fear of people in us. And I wouldn't say this is going to be the start of a big change. Okay, Gideon, he may have started out as insecure. He may still be insecure. But he ignites this return back to God, and the people are going to start to get on board. One more thing before we continue on in our chapter here. This major life change, this major act of repentance, this major relational, disruption that Gideon does here. He didn't know for sure what this would do to his relationships with his family, the people in the town, everybody around him, and neither do we. We don't have to have all the answers to how things are going to be sorted out after the fact. We just need to trust that God is there and that he can sort these things out. And we have to be okay. If this is going to cause us to lose relationships, I mean, just think about what is going on in your own life right now. Is there anything that you need to do that you're scared to do because of how other people would respond to you? Okay, is there anything that you need to start doing that you've been holding back because you're worried how people would receive it? Okay. Now, if that thing is to follow God more fully, then you need to take that step and trust that he's going to guide you to the next one after that. You don't have to presuppose every answer to all of the things that are going on beyond that. Okay? And that's basically the life of following God. He'll show you a step, and you take it, he'll show you the next step. Okay, this fear of people gets in the way of us taking steps forward with God because there's something in us that thinks we need to make those calculations, thinks we need to have all the answers, and then we can take the step. And that's not faith. That's not faith at all. You've just built the life that you think God wants you to have, and you're trying to execute your own plan, not follow his. Okay, so there's some lessons here we can learn from Gideon. Let's pick it up in verse 33 and read to...